It didn't mean, from the very beginning, he had troubles when after his conversion. From the very beginning, he had people now trying to kill him because of what he had done and who he was now. The opposition, though, didn't slow him down. How did he preach in face of this opposition? He preached boldly. He was not ashamed of the gospel that had saved him. Never, if you look at Saul's life, Saul who became Paul, look at his life and you follow him. Is there ever a point where Paul is ashamed of the gospel? There's not one point where he hides the gospel. He is so unashamed of the gospel that he confronts Peter, an apostle that was before him, who walked with Christ, who had a problem in his life. He was so unashamed of the gospel that he was willing to do that. He was so unashamed of the gospel that he was willing to go to prison multiple times, to be boiled alive in oil, to be beaten, to be almost killed many times, and possibly killed one time before Christ resurrected. That's a possibility. But he was willing to serve two to the death for his convictions, for his Savior. He was never ashamed of the gospel. But what's crazy is that though he faced all of that then and was never ashamed, we have Christians today. We can be ashamed of the gospel. We don't have any persecution. Well, America, this America today, we don't have, I don't think we can qualify any of the things we go against as persecution. People laugh at us, right? People mock us for our faith. But nobody's beating us. Nobody's banning us from doing certain things. We're not losing our houses because we're Christians. We're not losing our jobs because we're Christians. They were. Yet, despite the freedom that we have and the goodness of the gospel, which remember, gospel means good news, we are still sometimes ashamed of it. Ashamed enough that we won't just hand somebody a tract or talk to somebody about it. We can become that way when we forget what the gospel is. When we forget what God has done for us. I'm not trying to bash anybody. I've done the same thing. The only way to overcome those ideas and your ashamedness is to realize what the gospel is and realize what Christ has done. We're going to look at tonight a few reasons as to why not to be ashamed, that the Bible gives us on why we should not be ashamed of Christ and of his gospel. Here, Paul is spoke of as preaching boldly two different times in here, immediately after his salvation. And salvation is the number one reason we should not be ashamed. Look at Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16. This here is Paul. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The very first reason to not be ashamed of the gospel is the salvation that the gospel of Christ brings. Again, gospel means good news. It's the good news of Christ bringing salvation. By the way, the gospel is Christ. The good news is Christ himself. The whole thing that he is God, that he was born as a man, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that the third day he rose from the grave. The gospel is Christ. It's a good news because of what it brings to whomever it is given. Christ brings salvation, what does this passage say? To everyone that believeth. This, by the way, this verse explains that salvation is for everyone. There's no one it's restricted from. every single individual can have salvation. And it also tells us the mode of, or how they receive that salvation. It's by faith. That believeth, everyone that believeth. It's simply by believing. It's not by works. It's not by prayer. It's not by action, doing a certain amount of sacrifices or a certain amount of prayers or coming to church a certain amount of time. It's believing on Christ. That salvation, that simpleness of it, is that good news is to be given to people. It's to be handed out. We should not be ashamed of it because of how good it is. Have y'all heard of, just an interesting thing, have you heard of Betty Crocker? The company, we get the boxed cake or whatever from them. I was always thinking of their chocolate boxed cake. But they, their first recipe that they came out with, it was, had everything in it. You only had to add one ingredient. Everything else was there. All you had to add was, I think it was the milk, and you were good. People would not buy it because they were so, like, that's too easy. That's too easy. Just one thing. Everything is there. That's too easy. So they took it back off the shelves and they revamped it. And now you have to add three ingredients to it. People are like, okay, we can trust that. And they would buy it. And sales went up like crazy. It was the simplicity of it that they were confused by. They were afraid of. The gospel is a simple, simple thing. And we think, like, people are so hesitant towards the gospel. We sometimes can be, like, humans, people, we'll try to add stuff to it because it seems too simple. But it is really that simple of just believing on Christ. The only one ingredient you got to add is your belief, your faith. Everything is done. That's the good news we get to bring to people. We get to tell people about because we've accepted it ourselves. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of the salvation that the gospel brings. Because it gave you salvation, it is good news to all those around you that they can have salvation too. Not only does it bring salvation, and the salvation, the reason we should not be ashamed of it, but we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of the hope that we get from it. In Romans, still in Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, verse 5. Actually, let's back up. We're going to read from verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, what is that? Justified by faith, that is salvation. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So why should we not be ashamed of the gospel? Because of the hope that we have. The hope that we have for this life and for the next. The hope that through tribulations, through troubles, through trials that we deal with, and problems we deal with in life, we have a hope that our God is going to take care of us. And that in the end, we are going to be with our God. By the way, hope means confident expectation. It's not the hope for ice cream tonight. It's the hope that we know for sure that God has saved us and that we will have an eternity with God. We have a hope from our salvation, and because of that hope, we should not be ashamed of our God and of His gospel. To be ashamed of the gospel is to be ashamed of the love of God, and it's it's proof that you don't love people as God loves them. If we recognize the hope that God has given to us, we can never be beaten into shame for the gospel, because we will recognize the love that God has for everyone. Let's go to 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy. Let's just go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter number 1, verse number 12. It says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul writes to Timothy that for the sake of the gospel he has suffered much. But despite all that he has suffered, he is still bold about the gospel. No matter what we go through, no matter what we deal with, whether it's from the world trying to beat us down into quietness, or if it's just different troubles and trials and problems that we have in our life, we know that no matter what we go through, our God still cares. And our God still is able and willing and is holding on to us. There's been times, there's probably times in your life too, where I've, gotten into problems and I've started to wonder if God still loved me. Does God love me? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Why did that happen to them? Does God love us? Does God love me? And the truth is, God always does. And when you recognize the hope that Christ is, the hope in salvation, you won't question that. The times that we do question that, the times that I question that, was times that I had forgotten salvation. I had forgotten what Christ did for me. If Christ loves me enough to die on the cross for my sins, is he going to love me enough to take care of me through the problems that I go through in life? Absolutely. If Christ loved me enough to die on the cross for me, do I have to worry that he's going to throw my salvation out the window and let me burn in hell? No, I know he's not. Because if he's willing to do that, he's willing to keep me. He's willing to take care of me. We have a hope in Christ. And because of that hope, because of that sure confidence, we should never be ashamed. Have you looked at this world around us? We see, we can look at the world around us and we get distracted by the wickedness and the terrible things. But every action has a reason. And a lot of times that reason is that they're wanting hope. They're empty. They don't have... Why is drugs such a high... Why is that a high profit area? Why are we constantly, since for decades, been battling the war against drugs? Why do we have alcoholism everywhere? Why are there smoke shops everywhere? Every single one of those, they're looking for something to fill a hole. They want something to hope in. Why are people so invested in politics? Because they want something to hope in. They're looking as these politicians, whatever side you're on, they're looking at their politician as someone they can hope in. What do those people do every single time they fail? They have a failure. I don't care how good the person is. They have a failure. And sometimes very big ones. People will get so wrapped up into their sports teams. I saw, and you may have seen it too if you've driven down 20. But there's a, I think it's 20. But there's a big white house that's got a giant Cowboys star on it. I don't have a clue who lives there. I don't know what they do. Maybe they're an ex-Cowboy. I don't know. But they've got a giant Dallas Cowboys star on it, the big NFL symbol on the side. I don't know anything about them. But I can tell you that they look to those guys. That they follow them. There was a guy that I would work that I worked with for a while. He was a Cowboys fan like crazy. And if the Cowboys lost on Sunday, he was mopey and upset on Monday. And like, if you like the Cowboys, go for it. I don't care. But if it's that important to you that even the next day you're still bummed about it, then why are you putting you're putting your hope in that? You're putting your hope of joy in that. You're looking for any kind of happiness, any kind of reason in that. And that's just a dumb one with the Cowboys, but people do that with drugs and with with their jobs, with their money. They're looking for some kind of hope in those things. The world wants hope. We have the hope. We have Christ, and we can give it to them. That, the fact that we have something that they need and they want, should make us to be unashamed of it. A doctor, if they come to you and tell you that you have a terrible problem, they're not going to be happy about telling you you have to have surgery. But they're not ashamed of the fact that you need surgery. You need it, right? It's going to save your life. It's going to make your life better. You need it. The gospel should be the same way. We have the cure for spiritual cancer. We should be willing to give that out without any kind of shame for the gospel. We have the hope that the world is desperately seeking and that desperately needs. The hope of an eternity with God, the hope of forgiveness from God. This should cause us to be bold, should cause us to not be ashamed. We're to not be ashamed of the gospel because of the hope that it brings. Not only does it bring hope for the future, it doesn't just bring us hope for heaven and hope for eternity in heaven, but it brings us hope for today. It brings us wholeness in today, where we have freedom from sin. We have freedom from the bondage of sin. In Psalms 119, verse 80, it says, "Let my heart be sound, be firm, be steadfast. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." We should not be ashamed of the gospel because of the help it brings today. Not just the things of the future that it brings, but the help that it brings today. You're suffering today. You're dealing with problems today. You're struggling with sin today. The gospel is the answer for that. The guilt that you feel, the binds that you're in, the freedom from that is in Christ alone, in the gospel. That's what we get to tell people. Get to, not have to. We get to tell people about that. And because of that, we should not be ashamed. Another big reason to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ is that Christ is not ashamed of us. He is not ashamed of us. Christ has given us many things that can allow us to be unashamed of the gospel. But this is probably one of the biggest encouragements to be bold for the gospel, is that Christ is unashamed of his faithful ones. Go to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 11. Says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Christ has brought us salvation. He brings salvation to anyone that believes it. And anyone that believes and trusts in him, he's not ashamed to call them his brother. We become heirs with Christ. We become adopted sons of God. We get to be in that family. And Jesus is not ashamed to say, this is my brother. I have a little sister. Growing up, there were times where she did not like being called being called her brother. And she was embarrassed by some of the things I do because I'm weird. And I was always weird. But there was also times where I was like, that's not my sister. I don't want people to know that's my sister. She's being weird right now. We have that times where we feel that way to our brothers and sisters on earth. You know, just being silly and stuff. But there is never a moment where Christ is ashamed of his brothers. Those that have accepted him as their Savior. Those that have been adopted into the family of God. He is never, never ashamed of his faithful. He suffered on the cross because he saw that having you and I as his family as a joy. In Hebrews 12, 2. Let's turn there. We're in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What did Jesus see as a joy there? It wasn't the cross. He didn't look at the cross and be like, you know, that looks like fun. He knew that after the cross, you would be saved. That you could be saved, that you could be part of his family. That was the joy that he saw. We ought not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because Christ gladly calls us his brethren. He suffered the cross, the emotional suffering, the physical suffering, the spiritual suffering. He saw all of that as worth it. If he was able to call you his brethren. If he can endure all that, then we can endure some rejection and some mocking in the pursuit of giving the gospel to the world. I know this isn't long. This isn't deep. I feel like we need, as Christians, to be encouraged to be unashamed of the gospel. We're in a world where it's cool to be a Christian unless you talk about repentance. We live in a world where the people that preach the truth, that teach the gospel, they're being shut down. They're being quieted. And it's not going to get any better. Unless we become more bold and give the gospel and lead others to Christ. In the book of Acts, the 12 apostles were said to have turned the world upside down. If the 12 apostles can do that, what do you think us as Christians can do that? We can flip the world upside down again. We can put it right side up. We can lead people to Christ. For that reason, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Be bold for Christ. He is bold for us. Let's be bold for him. Let's close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I pray that you would just take this and use it as an encouragement to us. And I pray that you would help me to be more bold for you, to not be ashamed of your gospel. Pray that you would just help us to grow closer to you and stronger in you. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.